Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. This is Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for August 29th, 2011, episode 216, sponsored today by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday.
So I was waiting for you to start the show this morning. I was gone for a couple days and forgot how to do it.
I'm like, Glenn, hello? Hello? Anybody there?
I was just sitting here reading. Yeah, sitting here reading, going, why is she talking? Oh, I'm supposed to start.
Yeah. Nice. Well, you were gone for a couple of days, and I had some lovely ladies who were kind enough to fill in for you. I swear we didn't talk bad about you at all. Everything went great, and everybody did a great job, and I'm thinking of getting some new co-hosts, just in case.
I was listening on Thursday. I didn't hear Friday. I didn't hear Debbie.
Then we didn't
hear Thursday. Yeah.
Well, then we did everything we were supposed to do, and we played the song that we were supposed to play, and we behaved ourselves completely.
I was listening on Thursday. I just want to remind you of that. And just because you didn't play my song on Thursday, "Bat of New Orleans" by Coyote Run, I have saved it to play to torture you with today.
That's exciting.
I knew everybody would be looking forward to that today. But, you know, we have to be serious here for a minute and say, you know, our best to everybody. We might be doing a podcast right now. I'm not sure who's listening because a lot of our listeners live on the East Coast, and I'm sure many of them are without power. So we want to give our best to everybody who is battling the elements. I know our own Helena B was without power as of late last night, and we're going to be checking in with her this morning. And Jennifer, I was asking what's on today's show, except I don't think there is much. Is there just us?
Well, there's lots of stuff on today's show. We have hilarious headlines.
Okay,
we have snarky headlines. We have crazy adventures. We have Irene Hurricane updates. We have bizarre headlines that really have nothing to do with the horse, but we have to talk about them anyway because they're so bizarre. We have a lot going on today.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad you planned for all of that.
Glenn, what you don't realize is that you went to Pennsylvania and you did your little wearing your tights and you did your little Renaissance Festival.
Actually, I didn't.
What?
Hurricane Irene came up and got us all wet, and I never ended up even putting on my tights.
What? Oh,
so,
no. Are you wearing them now?
Yeah, so I dressed. No, I'm not. But they did fit. I did try them on. So I went up there Thursday, and I get there and got there late in the day on Thursday, which is all fine and everything. And then they were calling for Irene, and it was going to come up later in the day on Saturday. And I thought, well, I'll get the day in at the Renaissance Fair on Saturday. This would be great. So I met everybody I know for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I think, on Friday in Pennsylvania. I think I've met everybody I know in Pennsylvania. And I got together with my friend Mark and Tara, who are the jesters that I worked with all those years as the king. We did 450 shows together. We got together for dinner that night, had a blast just sitting around chatting and talking and everything. And the next day, we were supposed to meet up to do the fair. Well, by 10:30 in the morning, it had started raining and pretty much was a washout for the fair that day. So I headed home, drove out of the rain, headed home. I have to tell you, Janie, I counted 300, I lost count, at 350 bucket trucks and tree trucks with chippers on the back heading north.
Wow.
It was amazing. I would see whole caravans of them heading north because of Irene. And then, of course, it hit and has, you know, despite what the mainstream press is saying about it not being quite as bad, you know, if you're the one where the tree came through the house, it was a pretty bad storm.
yeah.
And I posted, there are 4 million people without power, 25 people have died. And I posted just a couple minutes ago on our Facebook page, 25 frightening photos of Hurricane Irene's destruction. If you and Jennifer haven't looked at those yet, you should, because they're quite impressive. So if you're without power right now, you definitely think Irene was something. So,
well, and this is all the more reason too if you're able to donate to your local Red Cross, because all I kept hearing about was the 70,000 trucks and everything that the Red Cross is sending to the coast. I mean, they were there; they were actually there before the storm even hit. So
yeah.
You've got these volunteers that head out into where the storm is going to come. Like me, I'm like, I'll take off the other direction, but these guys actually go into it. Hey, there's a storm coming. Let's go. Not like, let's run away. So they're just an amazing group of people and an amazing organization. And so we definitely want to say thanks to the Red Cross and donate, you know. Text, what is it? We'll figure out what you can text to just add money to your phone bill. And you just text a number and give us a $10 donation to the Red Cross. I do that every time there's some sort of crazy storm that hits. So those people are amazing. We want to hear from you guys. If you're able to give us a call,
By the way, let us know what you saw. Let me just tell you, it's 90999. You text 90999. And that donates $10.
Go. Perfect. Yep. Text 90999 and Red Cross gets $10. And then the other thing you can do is give us a call, 347-637-3238, and let us know if you were in the storm. I was not in the storm, Glenn. I was as far away from the storm as possible. I was in the world of air conditioning. I was in Las Vegas, baby. That's where I spent my weekend.
So everybody was getting washed out and rained on and winded here in the East Coast, and you were out there blowing money in the casinos.
One could say I was blowing money, Glenn, or one could say I was winning money. That's the way that we can look at it. But it reminded me of it because we were going down in the elevator when we were leaving, and these women's like, are you guys you going to be able to get home? I'm like, yeah, we live in Phoenix. It's a four-hour drive. Oh, okay. They were supposed to leave Saturday. They're from New York. They're like, the airport's still shut down. We've been stuck here for days in Las Vegas because of the hurricane.
Well, if you're going to get stuck someplace, that's not too bad.
Wasn't terrible. No, she wasn't really upset about it. But she was like, I do have to get back to work eventually. But I couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, my gosh. So there's people. I mean, you just don't think about it because it's on the other side of the country from you until somebody says, yes, I live there and I'm stuck here. It became a little bit more real.
I stayed in a hotel in Lancaster County, which is 2 hours in from New Jersey, to the west of New Jersey. And I stayed in a hotel there on Friday night, the night before the storm hit. And they were evacuating, of course, everybody in the coastal regions of New Jersey. Well, I woke up, and the hotel was maybe a quarter full. When I woke up and went down for breakfast the next morning on Saturday, the breakfast room was packed. And then I walked outside, and I looked outside in the parking lot, New Jersey, New York, New Jersey, New York, all the license plates down the line. They had all come in as far as Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, to hang out for the weekend. And there were just New York and New Jersey cars everywhere.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
That evacuated the coast. Yeah, so we want to hear your story, 347-637-3238. Did you survive the storm? Did it affect you? Are you without power now and you're listening on your phone? Give us a call and let us know. But let's do our daily winnies, and then we'll talk more about your adventures in Vegas and what went on there. And also, you're supposed to be moving. Just reminding
you. I'm a mess right now. I'm a big old mess.
Okay, my Daily Winnie does go out to Reese and Debbie. Thank you so much for filling in for me. I really appreciate their efforts last week. Reese, I'll get you back for everything you said bad about me on Thursday. And I know Reese is going to say, Jamie put me up to it. It's all Jamie's fault. And that's probably true, Reese, but I'm still going to be calling you later today. And also, we have a bunch of new fans. We went over 3,000 on our Facebook page this weekend. And we have a bunch of new fans that we know about. And I have to tell you a little story here, Jamie. A friend of ours called us yesterday who lives in, well, Chrissy Joy has been on the show and has co-hosted here before. She now lives in Texas near Dallas, and she was visiting a farm down there. And she said, I was walking through the aisle of the barn, and I heard this voice I knew. And she said, I went over, and there were a couple of the girls from the barn were listening to Horses in the Morning.
Yay!
They were listening to us on their iPod, and they apparently listen to our shows every day. So I don't know what barn it was, but shout out to them. Whatever barn it was in Texas that Chrissy Joy visited. And they also like Horse Tip Daily, so Jennifer got a little shout out there, too. All of our new fans out there, welcome to the show. I would say give it a couple days, listen to it. You got to give any new show you try, you got to give it a couple of days. You can listen live at horsesinthemorning.com or any of our affiliates, or you can listen recorded. Just download it through iTunes or under your iPod or your iPhone. And most people, I think, listen that way now. So you can listen to it any which way you want to. We're just glad you're here. You have a Daily Winnie too.
Well, my first Daily Winnie is going out to my new friend, Frank. Frank is my new friend, and Frank will be coming to live with us this afternoon because we're getting a barn kitty. Yay! I'm getting a cat, Glenn. Can you believe it?
You're getting another new pet?
I'm getting a cat for the barn because we're moving into this new place, and it's got this huge indoor feed room / barn tack room area, and Frank the cat was a friend's rescue. They've had him for 2 months, and he's not getting along with their other cats. So he needs to go to a catless home, which I, of course, have a catless home. And he's neutered. He is up to date on all his shots. He's very friendly with kids. He's very friendly with people. He just really doesn't play well with others. So he's going to come and be the new friend for Boomer and Zenyatta.
I'm going to say perfect for your house.
Exactly. So Chad has said that I can have the cat, but the cat is definitely not allowed in the house ever, because he refuses to have a litter box in the house. He's like, that's why we let the dogs out. That's why the horses live outside. There's no pooping in the house. So the litter box has to live outside. But other than that, I'm like, fine. We'll take him. Because I said, honey, we might have mice. We're going to have a barn. We're going to have mice control. I was like, so unless you want to go out there and pull them off the little sticky traps, I was like, we're getting a cat.
When you are allergic to cats.
I know. Well, you know what? I've been going through the, and this is so dorky, but I'm allergic to horses and cats and grasses and trees. And so I'm beginning the allergy shots. So I'm hoping that the whole cat thing isn't going to be as bad. Your cat, I will never be a match for your long-haired, hairy, giant, floating hairball of a cat. This cat has short hair, so it's going to be a little bit better.
Good. I forgot you didn't have cats, because everybody I know that have horses has like a dozen cats.
I know. So we're going to finally get a kitty.
Well, good for you. Congratulations. And when are you moving into this place anyway?
Well, let's see. Jose should be arriving in moments to help Chad start loading the trailer. We're basically halfway in. And what's so funny, Glenn, is that, you know, the joy of doing this job is that I get to do it from home. Well, we are moving into the new house. Hopefully, we're going to spend our first night in it tonight. However, we will not have any internet connection, so I actually have to commute back to the old house to do the show from here tomorrow. Chad's like, you have a commute now.
Mile and a half.
I know.
Now, you have to be out of your house by the end of the month, I would think, the 31st, right?
Yes. So thanks for letting me realize the pressure of the situation. I appreciate that.
All right.
Everything should be on track for the 31st. We should definitely be in. I mean, I've already moved all the horses. They are loving life. The pony is wearing a muzzle, actually, now in Arizona because we have so much grass. And my border's pony is, you know, he's just an accident. He's laminitis waiting to happen. So he's wearing a muzzle. And my warm blood's probably going to have to get a muzzle, too, because the grass is up to their knees. But they're very happy over there, and I'm extremely excited to get moved in. And it just absolutely sucks when you're moving and it's 115 degrees outside. It's just stupid.
Yeah, that can't be much fun.
No,
but you weren't
not.
Too stressed about moving because you did spend a weekend in Vegas. But we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But I know you have another Bailey Whinny, don't you?
I do. Are you ready with the audio, Glenn?
I am ready. Finger on button.
Okay. So this weekend, Uncle Mo made his triumphant return to the racetrack. And he was in a 7-furlong race called the King's Bishop. They didn't start him in a small race. This was like a $500,000 purse. I mean, it was crazy huge. It was at the Traverse Stakes. And it was one of the... I explained it to Chad, it was an undercard race, like in boxing. I was like, so one of the races leading up to the Traverse Stakes. And I was on my way to Las Vegas, and we have satellite radio, so I got to listen to it. He was laughing at me because I was like a nervous wreck. I'm like, what's going to happen? Is he even going to show up? Is he going to be a part of it? Is he going to win? I was really excited. So here is the audio from Uncle Mo's race this past weekend at
there
the Traverse
in the
Stakes.
Gate. They're off. Poseidon's Warrior breaking sharpest of all. Flashpoint breaks well down from the inside. Run flat out of them between those two, so those three start a battle up the back stretch, and it's four lengths back. Dominus is now running fourth toward the inside, and Uncle Mo has come out fifth. He's already about six lengths behind that heat up front. Another 2.5 lengths back to Justin Phillip. Another three back to Caleb's Posse, who's now at least 10 from the front. And Cool Blue Red Hot trails the field as they race up the back stretch through a hotly contested quarter in 22 1/5 seconds. The field moving into the far turn. Flashpoint on the rail. Poseidon's Warrior on the outside. In between those two, Run Flat Out. The 2-year-old champion, Uncle Mo, is 3 lengths behind them third, and rather in fourth as they move toward the top of the stretch. They got a half and an eye-popping 44-4, and now they're coming to the top of the stretch. Run Flat Out between horses. Uncle Mo's revving up on the outside. Flashpoint is digging down toward the rail. Then Poseidon's Warrior. Dominus is in behind Uncle Mo, who's shifting in. Then Justin Phillip. And here comes Caleb's Posse. Uncle Mo's in front. Justin Phillip. Caleb's Posse. Can Uncle Mo hold off Caleb's Posse? It's going to be a photo finish in the King's Bishop. That is too close to call. Very close at the end. Uncle Mo desperately trying to hold off the oncoming Caleb's Posse. They were an inch apart at the line. Justin Phillip third in a thrilling renewal of the King's Bishop.
Oh, no. They went on to do the photo finish. Glenn, if you watch this, we're going to post the link right now to our Facebook page. ESPN had the video up. And we're going to post the link because I'm sorry. It was too close to call. I mean, thank God they did photo finishes, right?
Actually, to be honest, did Uncle Mo win the race?
Uncle Mo did not win the race. He came in second, but
I thought it had to be
a whisker.
Yeah.
A whisker.
I thought so. It did look to me like the other horse got just nosed him out at the very end. It did look that
really?
Way.
Oh,
yeah, but that I
got to
tell you, that other horse was gaining. I mean, if there had been another yard, he'd have won by a head because he was flying at the end there.
Yeah, that horse, Caleb's Posse, it came out in dead last. I mean, if you listen to the beginning of the call, they're like, and there's Caleb's Posse 12 lengths off the lead. And so Uncle Mo is not a sprinter, and this is a sprinting race. I think they just wanted to test his legs out and see what he would do. So he'll race in some longer races. as it goes on. However, Caleb's posse was kicking some butt. So it was just a really exciting race, a really exciting call, and I'm just glad to see that. You know, his connections worked very hard to try to diagnose him. If you remember, he had the very, very strange, rare liver disorder, and they just noticed it because he was kind of going off his feed and he wasn't feeling great, and they probably spent $100,000 trying to figure out what was wrong with him and treating him. So it makes me happy to hear racehorse owners that work so hard, you know, to take care of their ponies and to find out what's wrong and then rehab them, and to watch like a little bit of a success story when they actually come back to the track was cool.
All right, good job. I just got an update here. I have a hurricane update for you, Jamie. This is from Fran Yurga. And if you remember Fran, she's our blogger friend, very popular. And she actually lives on the coast of Massachusetts. And I mean her house, you can see the ocean. And she said, we had power throughout the terrible, terrible winds through the night. I am headed to the office soon, which is on a dock, a little scared of what I might find or not find. Here at home, the ocean came right up to the road but didn't cross, and my little house on top of the rock was okay. I'm going to be checking on things in Ipswich and Hamilton. There's a name. Jennifer and I live there for a time. So worried about friends and horses in Vermont. I don't know if you've heard about Vermont, but they're having the worst flooding they've ever had in history now, and it was still raining there this morning. So they're having a tough time in Vermont right now. So that's an update from Fran Yurga on the coast there in Massachusetts. And we'll be hearing from Helena here very shortly on what she's going through there in Rhode Island. And if you want to give us a call, it's 347-637-3238. So why were you in Vegas when you should have been moving your house?
You know, everybody needs a break from labor. And one of my friends is in a band. One of my best friends is in a band. And so we went to Vegas to watch him play in his concert. And it was just Saturday night, and it was at the Mandalay Bay. So we went up there and got a room.
Well, you have
with
to
another
tell everybody
couple.
Which band it is.
Why? They don't know who it is. That's not the important part of the story, Glenn.
It is kind of important. They're kind of a big deal.
Well, the name of the band is Sugarland, and I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia with those guys, and I just have been friends with Christian and the guy in the band for a long time, and he's playing in Vegas, so we decided to drive up there and go watch the show, and he gave us tickets and all that and took care of us and had a great time, and it was an amazing concert. If you don't recall, Sugarland is the band that the stage collapse happened in Philadelphia, was it in Indiana? A couple weeks ago.
Indiana. At the fair, yeah.
At the fair, and it was so crazy because we've seen them in several different states, it was very crazy to watch Sugarland perform. It was just the stage. They have this very huge setup and these lights and the tour is called Incredible Machine, and it looks like a big machine in the background and all this stuff, and it was very, very, I mean, all of that was destroyed. He said they lost everything but like two guitars. So
everything.
And they were also like walking to the stage. They should have been in their second song, but they held off. Their tour manager held them off and said, why don't we just wait for a minute? Then they were walking to the stage when the stage collapse actually happened. So it was very scary. And, they were just happy to be there. He actually said that. He was like, we're just happy to be here. I mean, because it could have been a different story. Anyway, so awesome, awesome concert. If you have the chance to go see Sugarland, you will. The friends that we went with had never seen them before perform live, and I mean, it's just such a good time. And they're just the lead singer Jennifer is just amazing. So definitely go see Sugarland; they're fantastic. So we did that, and then the show was over. And we'd already had dinner, so we were waiting. Chad had done some gambling before we went to dinner, which, by the way, was the home of the $15 tacos.
You sent us a picture the other night. It was so funny.
Okay, seriously? Mandalay Bay is one of the, like, I guess, up higher-end hotels in Las Vegas. And, of course, we were sharing a room with another couple, and we were just all crammed into this one room with two double beds, and so we were living on the cheap. And we went to dinner, and one of the places had, like, fish tacos or something, and Chad loves fish tacos. So he orders the fish tacos, and they're $15, and I ordered, like, hummus or something and a salad. My hummus and the salad comes out, and it's like a teaspoon of hummus and two slices of pita bread. And Chad's tacos come out, and I had to take a picture of him as a dinner table. I was like, somebody give me a quarter. So I put a quarter on the plate and a fish taco on the plate, and they are almost the same size. Three tacos the size of quarters for $15. So, do we have that picture, Jennifer? Do you have the picture to post online, or do I need to email that to you too?
I think I got it on my. I think I had it on my phone actually. So, you have to send that. That was very funny when I saw the quarter there. I was like, oh my god, these are like appetizers. I thought they were appetizers.
No, this was the actual order. Like, this is the tacos that he ordered. Anyway, I had to take a picture. So we were a little bit hungry after the show, obviously. But Chad had gambled a little bit. So he goes to cash in his things because we were going to go to cash in his chips because we were going to go to another casino. So while he's going to the cashier window, I have $2 in my pocket. So I sit down at the quarter slot machine. And I'm just playing, you know, 25-cent bet. I did three bets, and all of a sudden, the machine started going ding, 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 ding. A slot machine on a 25-cent bet paid me $87.
Nobody ever wins it. I can't tell you that. I always win two coins on the slot machine and then lose my money. I never do anything on the slot machine.
$87 on a quarter.
That's pretty good.
So,
That's pretty good.
It was ridiculous. I take that $80 and then $87 and I go ahead and I cash that ticket in and we go to the other hotel and then I use that money to play blackjack where I ended up coming home with a week's salary for horses in the morning.
But you were a winner, huh?
I actually won money in blackjack and they were calling me the blackjack queen. I got 11 blackjacks. In a, like, 2.5-hour segment. Yes. And then realize that, and I'm just going to be honest with you here. When you're in Las Vegas and you're gambling and you're sitting at the same table for a while, they just keep bringing you drinks. And the drinks are free. And I decided that I needed to leave when I couldn't do the math of 6 + 4. I was like,
a few glasses lined up.
Okay, what is that? And I was like, the dealer, I was like, how much is that? What does that add up to? How much do I have?
Yeah, that's pretty bad. When you're looking to the dealer to add 6 + 4 for you, it's time to leave. You're probably not making wise decisions.
Should I
you
double
have a two, you have two twos and you're going, you're doubling down and, you know, you're doing all kinds of bad things. Yeah. I gotta go play blackjack with you sometime. That'd be fun. That's my game. I love. And you know who else loves blackjack is Alan from the Western Radio Show. He's a big blackjack player.
It would definitely get ugly. I had the best time. I just kept winning. And Yoon, our dealer, was this nice Asian lady, and she was actually like every time you would get a blackjack, she would like fist pump you and high five you, and she would always cheer. And then they would switch the dealers. It would be this like angry lady who just came over and deal, and then she would leave, and then Yoon would come back and was like, Yoon is back, and she's high fiving everybody. And it was just an awesome experience. And we were at the Paris Hotel, which I don't know if you've been to the Paris one. Oh, my God, it's beautiful. And apparently not very popular because it was dead inside there on a Saturday night. So it was awesome for us because we just sat right down and started playing at the $10 tables. It was perfect. So very, very fun. Great.
Well, it sounds like fun. All right, let's continue talking about that in just a minute. But we have somebody on the line here. I don't want to keep holding because I don't want to waste her cell phone battery because I don't think she has a way to charge it. And that is Helena B. from the Stable Scoop Radio Show, who lives on the coast of Rhode Island. Good morning, Helena.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Okay. Are you still without power?
We are still without power, yes.
Tell us about your day yesterday. Tell us about, was it a little windy where you live?
It was a little windy. I mean, we got really lucky. The storm passed just to our west, which meant that we avoided most of the rain. So we didn't have a lot of rain yesterday or the day before, but, the wind was pretty significant. Just a couple of trees. We lost only two trees and lots of branches. And, we're starting the cleanup process now.
Are the horses okay?
Oh, my gosh, they're fine. They think, like, they're in some kind of hotel.
You put them in there with tons of food, didn't you?
They have been. They were the easiest part of this whole equation. This barn is built like a tank. Not a window was rattling. The door, everything was just nice and tight. It worked out great. They had plenty. Thank goodness, though, that I filled one of those garbage bins. I had a big plastic garbage bin, and I filled it with water 2 days before. And so it's like 45 gallons. And thank goodness, because with the power and we have wells, there's no pump action. So I wouldn't have been able to get them water. So that's really turned out to be one of those good hurricane preparedness tips.
Now, is your whole area without power?
Yes. Most of Rhode Island has no power, and apparently it will be without power for a couple of days.
What are you going to do?
I don't know.
Well, we lit the grill up this morning, and we don't have a gas grill. We still have a charcoal grill. So we lit the grill this morning, and we put our tea kettle on, and we had instant coffee. We actually
put
the kettle on the cold because we're like, we can't. We need coffee. We have to, if we can't start the day with news and internet, we need to at least start it with coffee.
My goodness. Well,
Helena,
you guys
that... you're firing up a charcoal grill. Are you going to actually use the charcoal and put a pan under there and cook some eggs? I mean, how does that work?
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I live with Chef Tell, so he's like, he actually has like little baby pieces of baby firewood now. So he wants to keep the grill going all day long so he can whip up something fabulous for dinner. The man, he can make a 5-course meal in an open pit. So.
That's
not worried
incredible.
About that.
Well, a question about the power. So we know you're going to be eating well, but when you talked about the not having power, I mean, are you guys able to have water without power? Are you on a well? I mean, don't you need electricity for the pump?
We do need electricity for the pump, so we have wells. And so, no, we have to ration the water, but, you know, we did fill before the storm, we went and got lots of bottled water and jugs of water. And then, again, in the house, I filled more plastic, brand-new plastic trash barrels with water for toilets and for the dogs and the cats and stuff like that. So, yeah, water is an issue. And the horses are fine because I filled up their garbage, their 45-gallon garbage thing. Plus, they have their outdoor tank, which, I mean, I have clean muck tubs filled with water everywhere.
Smart.
You're good.
Okay, so you prepared. You were ready for this sucker to hit.
Yeah, because I didn't know what to expect. I mean, this is, you know, we've only been here in Rhode Island for 2 years, and we did have one tropical storm, but I didn't have horses at the time, so I kind of prepared as much as I could, not knowing what to expect. But thank goodness I did, because really just the power outage is the biggest problem.
Right.
Now, have you heard anything from North Boston, where you used to live?
They got flooded. They're crazy. Yeah, they got the winds. They got the floods. My hometown in New York, in Rockland County, just completely flooded, trashed. I mean, I think what saved us is that we didn't get a lot of the water.
Okay.
So how prepared are your neighbors? I mean, was this like anytime there's been a big storm or something like that, usually neighbors band together, everybody's communicating, everybody gets a little bit closer and gets to know each other better. Are your neighbors as prepared as you are, or did they all leave? I mean, what happened?
No, everybody pretty much stayed here. There was no evacuation alert here unless you were right down, like there are these little cottages right down on the beach. but we're not really that low in terms of closeness to sea level. So we didn't have to evacuate. But neighbors, a lot of these people have been here for many, 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 many years and have gone through hurricanes before. There are more than a few people in town who have generators. And that's less for hurricanes and more for blizzards, because apparently the power goes out in, you know, these New England winters quite often, so they have generators. And so, and there's, you know, in my little area of town, there are a few horse owners. So we just made a couple of phone calls and said, you know, do you guys have everything you need? And, you know, yeah, we do band together, I have to say. We do. Do you need extra shaving? Who's got hay? Who needs, you know, somebody needs bantamine paste? Because the other thing, too, is, you know, the horses do get a little bit stressed. Of course, mine didn't. They, I don't know, they think it's some kind of big party, but, you know, so there's a little bit of that phone network going on. Do you have, you know, I need the ace paste or, you know, somebody's colicking, stuff like that.
Hey, yeah, Helena. Well, I just heard from Fran Yerga earlier, who, of course, lives up near Ipswich and Hamilton right on the coast. And I read an update from her earlier, and she just sent me another update that said, word is that Green Mountain Horse Association, do you know that one in South Woodstock, Massachusetts?
Yeah.
Okay, she said, is badly flooded. The Iron Bridge in West Woodstock, familiar landmark to riders, has collapsed.
Ooh.
So you know where that is. So she apparently they're getting the flooding up there in Massachusetts right now as well.
Yeah. A lot of bridges are out, and dams are giving way, and rivers cresting and all that. That fun stuff. But luckily, you know, Rhode Island, last year we had the spring floods, and that was our big deal. But to be honest with you, this storm was just enough to the west that we were saved because, I mean, there's nothing short of luck. It was just pure dumb luck that we didn't get nailed. Because if it was just a few miles to the east, we would have been so much worse.
Now, are you how are you charging your cell phone?
I mean, we went to Papagino's last night, a couple towns over, while we were waiting for our pizza. I plugged my phone in.
There you go. Good thinking.
I'm going to do the same thing again today. Just go to some place, some chain, a couple towns north of here, and charge up.
Hey, we have another caller, Helena, if you can hold on. We have Alan from the Western Radio Show, who lives on the coast of South Carolina. Let's check in with him and see how he made out. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you today?
Okay. Did you guys survive down there?
Oh, yeah, we survived. We're far enough inland that when the storm kind of went east and out there into the Atlantic, we had a few clouds. We didn't even get any rain. We had some 8 to 15 mile an hour winds, but being over there by Augusta, Georgia, and we're on the other side of South Carolina from the coast, so we survived pretty well.
Now, if you lived in the coast of North Carolina at the Outer Banks area, if you had a place you regularly go out there, you're going to might want to check and make sure it's still there or that the road is still there, because apparently many of the roads to the Outer Banks have washed out.
Oh, yeah, exactly right. And as a matter of fact, even on the coast of South Carolina, the way the land kind of dips in with the way the Atlantic is made, my wife's brother lives down near Hilton Head, and they didn't get a whole lot of wind and rain either, but South Carolina got lucky on this one.
Yeah, you guys did get lucky. That doesn't mean the next one you won't be so lucky, though. Keep your head down.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And I was going to offer Helena B. my generator, but right before the storm started coming up, I remembered my generator quit working. I had to put it in the shop the other day and hadn't heard back from it yet. So
he was going to drive it up to you, Helena.
I think it's a worthy investment. Huh?
Yeah.
He was going to drive it up to you, Helena.
I would love you for it because those things are not cheap.
No, they're not. No, they're not. And not cheap to get worked on either. But it would have been hard. I'd have had to done it yesterday or in a couple of weeks because right now I'm driving. I'm on my way to Dallas, Texas to go to that barn and get them gals that work in the barn to switch from Horses in the Morning to Western Radio Show.
Alan. Good luck with that.
They have got to see the light.
See the light. He's going on a mission.
Hey, Alan, from what I heard, actually, you and I and Glenn need to hit the blackjack tables up in Vegas.
And that was the main reason I was calling. I love the blackjack tables, and I mean, you were all excited about winning $87 on what, four or five pulls on the. I hate them slot machines, but congratulations to you. But for Glenn and myself, that's usually just a hand or two.
Hey, Alan, my wife's listening. Watch that.
No, I've never played slots before, Alan. That was my point, was I just sat down waiting for Chad to come back, and I won $80, so then I just played that, and I played it all night long, and then I got drunk and had to go back to bed. But I won money in Las Vegas. It was really exciting. And I, from what I hear, you and myself and Glenn could get into some trouble. Helena, do you play poker or do you gamble?
Oh, I think
Helena?
We lost Helena, actually. She is
no.
gone. So maybe her
cell phone.
Yeah, maybe her cell phone. She needs to go to the pizza place again. Well, thank you. Thanks, Helena, for calling in. We do appreciate that and checking in with us on her status up there. Yeah, Alan, you're not supposed to tell my wife how much I play in hands. That's not right. You just to keep that quiet.
I'm sorry, I forgot. He only plays $2 table, Jennifer.
That's right.
That is correct.
That's what I actually do look for the $2 tables, but there aren't any anymore.
Oh, heck no. It's most of the time a $15 minimum anywhere you go.
That's what we play, is the $15. The $15 tables.
And all she gives me is $15, and that's one hand and you're done.
But the better thing to do is to go to the higher limit tables. I mean, 25, because you're going to have better players. You've got a better chance of getting a table full of folks who kind of know the written and unwritten rules of blackjack. But if you're on them cheap tables, you get folks that do stupid stuff. They'll sit on a 12 against the ace or a face card or something like that. And I don't want to take a chance on bluff. I said, but they got you beat with what they have already. It's just, you know,
knowing how to.
And by the way, Jamie, unless you're winning money, the drinks aren't free.
What do you mean?
I have sat there at a table for a couple of hours, and by the time I left, the drinks have cost me a couple hundred.
Okay, you make a good point. I think that's why they keep the drinks coming, so you will stop figuring out how to play and actually start making some mistakes because your brain is clouded. but the fun thing about going to a $10 table, Alan, and your $15 table is when you sit down and you start talking to people, they have no idea how to play. And so you get to tell them how to play each one of their hands, and they start looking. You go, what do I do? I'm like, okay, can you see that down card that the dealer has? Always assume that's a 10. So what you need to do, and so basically I end up coaching the entire table around and telling everybody what to do, and it's like I get to play the whole table.
Imagine that, Jamie telling everybody what to do.
And on that note, Alan, we gotta run. We gotta stop blackjack talk and actually talk about horses because some people get mad at us. So thank you, Alan, for giving a call. You have a good trip to Dry Dallas, Texas.
Bye.
Oh my gosh, that guy is so funny. Yeah, don't get me started on talking about the blackjack and the rules and all that kind of stuff because it's definitely a lot of fun. I don't know why I like it so much. It's just like, it's such a rush. And I don't bet on horses or bet on I don't bet on anything. And I do play the smallest tables we can find. So I am a little bit cheap that way.
Yeah, me too. I always wanted the $2 or $5 tables, but you just can't find them anymore. Especially, you can find them in the mornings. You can't find them in the evenings. They're gone by then. Well, why don't you do the Omega Alpha commercial, and we'll come back. We got to do Black Beauty yet today. Is that over yet? Did I miss the end? I'd be heartbroken if I did.
Well, Glenn, I went ahead and read on Thursday because I knew you were listening. So I read a chapter on Thursday, but I knew you were not listening on Friday, so I did not read a chapter when Debbie was co-hosting with me. And so we have count them, 3 chapters to go. That is it.
Well, we got to get Tom on alert. We need to get Tom on alert because we're going to need a final update towards the end there on the carnage count. And you know what? after blackjack, I got to tell you, we had some carnage count at the barn. You know how we do the barn for our friend every Sunday morning? Well, we had a carnage count. So I'll have to tell you about that. We'll have to add that to Tom's list. All right, do our Omega Alpha commercial. We'll come back with some Black Beauty and then on with the rest of the show.
Well, I must tell you that I did have to read the last three chapters on Thursday after I got done reading. I had to pre-read because there's no way I could have read it out loud. I've read this book, Glenn, 100 times, and I was still a bumbling mess at the end of it. So hopefully in the next 3 days, I need to read it enough times to where it's not going to affect me, and I can correctly read it as opposed to blubbering and crying throughout the entire book. So I'll do my best to get through it. But today's show is brought to you by Omega Alpha. Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals, they create only natural health products, and their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. They have dozens of products to help your horses in a number of areas, including energy, immunity, muscles, respiratory vitamins, and minerals. Omega Alpha brings consumers the perfect marriage of nature and science, and they specialize in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of our products are made by Omega Alpha using the finest natural ingredients available, and you can look for their products at retailers nationwide and or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca.
All right, thank you to Omega Alpha. We really appreciate that. Is the book open?
The book is open.
Is the finger on the correct line?
Hit the button.
This is a dramatic reading by Jamie Jennings of the English classic Black Beauty by Anna Sewell.
Chapter 47, Hard Times. I shall never forget my new master. He had black eyes and a hooked nose. His mouth was as full of teeth as a bulldog's, and his voice was as harsh as the grinding of cartwheels over gravel stones. His name was Nicholas Skinner, and I believe he was the same man that poor C.D. Sam drove for. I have heard men say that seeing is believing, but I should say that feeling is believing, for much as I had seen before, I never knew till now the utter misery of a cab horse's life. Skinner had a low set of cabs and a low set of drivers, and he was hard on the men, and the men were hard on the horses. In this place, we had no Sunday rest, and it was in the heat of summer. Sometimes on a Sunday morning, a party of fast men would hire the cab for the day, four of them inside and another with the driver, and I had to take them 10 or 15 miles out into the country and back again, and never would any of them get down and walk up a hill, let it ever be so steep, and on the day ever so hot, unless indeed when the driver was afraid I should not manage it, and sometimes I was so fevered and worn that I could hardly touch my food. How I used to long for the nice bran mash with nitre in it that Jerry used to give us on Saturday nights in hot weather. It used to cool us down and make us so comfortable. Then we had two nights and a whole day of unbroken rest, and on Monday morning we were as fresh as young horses again. But here, there was no rest, and my driver was just as hard as his master. He had a cruel whip with something so sharp at the end that it sometimes drew blood, and he would even whip me under the belly and flip the lash out at my head. Indignities like these took the heart out of me terribly, but still I did my best and never hung back, for, as poor Ginger said, it was no use, men are the strongest. My life was now so utterly wretched that I wish I might, like Ginger, drop dead at my work and be out of my misery, and one day my wish very nearly came to pass. I was on the stand at 8 a.m. and had done a good share of work when we had to take a fare to the railway. A long train was just expected in, so my driver pulled up at the back of some outside cabs to take the chance of a return fare. It was a very heavy train, and as all the cabs were soon engaged, ours was called for. There was a party of four, a noisy, blustering man with a lady, a little boy, and a young girl, and a great deal of luggage. The lady and boy got into cab while the man ordered about the luggage, and the young girl came and looked at me. "Papa," she said, "I am sure this poor horse cannot take us and all of our luggage so far. He is so very weak and worn out. Do look at him." "Oh, he's all right, miss," said my driver. "He's strong enough." The porter who was pulling about some heavy boxes suggested to the gentleman, as there was so much luggage, whether or not he could take a second cab. "Can your horse do it or can he?" said the blustering man. "Oh, he can do it all right, sir. Send up the boxes, porter, and he could take more than that." And he helped to haul down a box so heavy that I could feel the springs actually go down. "Papa, Papa, please do take a second cab," said the young girl in a beseeching tone. "I am sure we are wrong. I am sure it is very cruel." "Nonsense, Grace. Get in at once and don't make all this fuss. A pretty thing it would be if a man of business had to examine every cab horse before he hired it. The man knows his own business, of course. There, get in and hold your tongue." My gentle friend had to obey, and after box was dragged up and lodged at the top of the cab or settled by the side of the driver. At last, all was ready, and with his usual jerk of the rein and slash of the whip, he drove out of the station. The load was very heavy, and I had had neither food nor rest since the morning, but I did my best, and as I always had done, in spite of cruelty and injustice. We got along fairly till we came to Ludgate Hill, but the heavy load and my own exhaustion were just too much. I was struggling to keep on, goaded by constant chucks of the rein and use of the whip, when, in a single moment, I cannot tell how, my feet slipped from under me, and I fell heavily to the ground on my side. The suddenness and the force with which I fell seemed to beat out all the breath of my body. I lay perfectly still indeed, and I had no power to move, and I thought that now I was going to die. I heard a sort of confusion around me, loud, angry voices, and the getting down of the luggage, but it was all like a dream. I thought I heard that sweet, pitiful voice saying, "Oh, that poor horse, it's all our fault." And someone came and loosened the throat strap of my bridle and undid the traces which kept the collar so tight on me. Someone else said, "He's dead. He'll never get up again." Then I could hear a policeman giving orders, but I did not even open my eyes. I could only draw a gasping breath now and then. Some cold water was thrown over my head, and some cordial was poured into my mouth, and something was covered over me. I cannot tell how long I lay there, but I found my life coming back, and a kind-voiced man was patting me and encouraging me to rise. After some more cordial had been given to me, and after one or two attempts, I staggered to my feet and was gently led to some stables which were close by. Here I was put in a well-littered stall, and some warm gruel was brought to me, which I drank thankfully. In the evening, I was sufficiently recovered to be led back to Skinner Stables, where I think they did the best for me that they could. In the morning, Skinner came with a farrier to look at me. He examined me very closely and said, "This is a case of overwork more than disease, and if you could give him a runoff of 6 months, he would be able to work again, but right now there is not an ounce of strength in him." "Then he must go to the dogs," said Skinner. "I have no meadows to nurse sick horses in, and he might well get well, or he might not. That sort of thing doesn't suit my business. My plan is to work him as long as they'll go, and then sell him for what they fetch at the knacker's or elsewhere." "If he was broken-winded," said the farrier, "you'd have better had him killed out of hand, but he is not. There's a sale of horses coming about in 10 days, and if you rest him and feed him up, he may pick up, and you may get more than his skin is worth, at any rate." Upon this advice, Skinner, rather unwillingly, I think, gave orders that I should be well fed and cared for, and the stableman, happily for me, carried out the orders with a much better will than his master had in giving them. 10 days of perfect rest, plenty of good oats, hay, bran mashes with boiled linseed mixed in them, did more to get up my condition than anything else could have done. Those linseed mashes were delicious, and I began to think, after all, it might be better to live than to go to the dogs. When the 12th day came after the accident, I was taken to the sale a few miles outside of London. I felt that any change from my present place must be an improvement, so I held up my head and hoped for the best. And tomorrow, Chapter 48, Farmer Thoroughgood and his grandson Willie.
I don't know if I should play the cheering for that today. But but you did leave us a cliffhanger for tomorrow.
I know. He's on his way to the sale. What's going to happen next? Who knows? We're going to find out.
And do you know what I always thought a cordial was an alcoholic beverage. Did they like pour alcohol down his throat? Is that what they were doing there?
Maybe they slid him some amaretto or frangelico. Or, who knows?
Maybe that helped horses. Something we should take a look at, maybe. I don't know. Maybe Jennifer knows. Do you know what a cordial is when it comes to
I think it's just a generic term for a mixture that you pour down their throat. You pour it down instead of using a stomach tube. I'll have to look that one up.
Oh, you know, I'm looking at Wikipedia, the ever-knowing place for everything. And a cordial is an invigorating and stimulating preparation that is intended for a medicinal purpose. The term derives from an obsolete usage. Some cordials had gold leaf in them, and they were of European origin. Well, of course, you know, and they were used. Yeah, it was something that was meant to revive the spirits, it says.
It sounds just like what you would order at the bar. I would like something that will revive my spirits and make me feel better. I'll take a beer.
I think you had a few cordials the other night when you were playing blackjack, actually. You were drinking cordials.
I did. And so I swear, just like every person who left Las Vegas on Sunday morning, I left going, I'm never drinking again.
I had to be at the airport. I had to be airport after a conference. I was there for almost a week and a half. And I had to be at the airport on Sunday morning at 5 a.m. And I could not believe the line was the longest line I'd ever been in of people who just were not awake yet. It just looked miserable. It was the most miserable looking group of people. And the lines went forever. It was just amazing how many people are at the airport in Las Vegas at 5 o'clock on a Sunday morning. And looking really, really bad. Well, today we're going to play a song, and then we have our weekend roundup. We have a lot of horse news from around the world that we're going to get to. And hopefully, if you want to give us a call, 347-637-3238. We'd love to hear from you this morning as well. Jamie. So the other day on Thursday, let's talk. And I'm talking as a friend, not as your boss. So the other day on Thursday, I'm out, and Jamie's here with Reese Goffler Stanfield. And they're just having a little fun at my expense because I was going to a Renaissance fair over the weekend to meet up with some old friends and have some fun because we used to work the Renaissance fairs. And I have another listener who has chimed in. And her name is Carrie Kelly. And Carrie Kelly chimed in and said, excellent. While horses are my passion, I've made a living off working at Renaissance festivals around the country for over 30 years. So I have two people now that have come to my support about this. But I heard you, by the way, play Men in Tights the other day from the Robin Hood movie.
Face it, you've got to be a man to wear tights.
Yeah, that one. It's one of my favorite songs, by the way, ever.
Face it, you've got to be a man to wear tights.
It is one of my favorite songs ever. Matter of fact, we'll play the show out with it today because what a great movie. I don't know if you like the movie, but we love that movie. I think I've seen it 10 times. And I love that. It's just...
Let's face it. You've got to be a man to wear tights.
I can just play that over and over again. Face it. You've got to be a man to wear tights.
Man to wear tights. Well, and you know, I never did get to wear tights over the weekend, which was kind of a bummer. I was really looking forward to it. So, but this little hurricane came along and blew it. But anyway, I had a song all set up for you to play, a fun song from a group that performs at the Renaissance Fair. This is more actually of a Civil War song. But this group is called Coyote Run. They're a lot of fun. You'd actually kind of like them, I think, if you gave them a chance. But they're a lot of fun, and they're a diverse group who likes all different kinds of music, and they wrote a song about the Civil War. It has horses in it. And they couldn't decide what kind of music to write it at, so they... Basically, it's all different styles of music all put together. So I'm torturing you with this because you wouldn't play it the other day. You had to go play Templeton Thompson's Girls and Horses. I heard it. So here is the battle.
You should be here for this one. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay.
Fast as the house and get down this city.
Wish you were drinking now.
That is the worst song I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, sorry. Bet you wish you were drinking now.
Hold up. No. That's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Did you know that you just played a La Bamba Louie Louie mashup about the Civil War? Are you freaking kidding me? That was terrible.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it? Oh, great.
I unplugged it so Chad could hear it, and Chad's like, "What is wrong with him? That is the worst music I've ever heard in my entire life."
It worked.
You are never ever allowed to play that on the show ever again. That is the worst song I've ever heard. Hold up. Anybody listening right now, please post on Facebook whether you like that song or not. God. Okay, I'm gonna stop because you need to
be
do the
honest,
ad for
though. Be honest with me, Jamie. You have never heard a mashup like that before.
There's a reason, Glenn, that I've never heard a mashup like that before, because that was by far the worst crap I've ever heard. You know, everybody, the differences in the human makes the world an interesting place. So the fact that you like that, somebody has to, I guess.
I have some worse
Jennifer,
ones I could play.
Jennifer, I got to ask you, do you like that song?
I love that song.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
All right, yes, I got to find somebody else. Alan, call back and just tell us whether you like that song or not. He probably turned it off. Hold up. Hold on. Let me ask our listener that's on hold here. Is this Aubrey? I got to know. I want to know if she liked the song or not, that our listener that's on hold. She didn't hang up for it. So that makes me think that maybe she liked it. She's not going to talk to us. She's probably on her horse. Oh, well, I'll put her back on hold. Yeah, so that was terrible. Terrible.
You like this one better, didn't you?
Face it, you got to be a man to wear tights.
We're men. We're men in tights.
Manly men.
Now that one's a heck of a lot better. That was a fantastic song. I love it.
This song was sponsored by Pocket Stable. How do you keep track of your horse's information, like ferry resistance shocks? Do you have a box full of receipts, post-it notes? Or perhaps you just don't keep track at all, and that's what I think probably about 90% of people do. Well, the solution to the problem is right on your iPhone. It costs $3.99, and it's called Pocket Stable. You go to the App Store, you look up Pocket Stable, you pay your $3.99, you download it, and you have it forever. And you can use it to keep track of when everything is coming up with little reminders and all different kinds of stuff. This is something that you want to invest $3.99 in. Skip the coffee tomorrow. Buy Pocket Stable. You won't regret it. And you're just going to have the app that you need right there on your iPhone. Or you can visit them at pocketstable.com. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. Jamie and I disagreeing about music. And it's sponsored by Omega Alpha. And what else, Jamie? That's about it. Sponsored by Omega Alpha.
So can I need to play Girls and Horses.
Because you had to get that tune out of your head because it was so catchy. You just had to get the La Bamba out of your head because once the La Bamba gets in your head, it never leaves. For the rest of the day, you're going to hear the La Bamba in your head, and you're going to thank me because it's going to be such a wonderful experience.
You seriously played a La Bamba Louie mashup about the Civil War? Are you freaking kidding me?
On a serious note, I really want to have that guy's deep voice. I really like his deep voice. Anyway, let's do this. Maybe it plays. Okay. The Hurricane Irene got our player, too.
Sorry. It's still try that.
We're having. Let's try it. Oh, there we go.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Well, it's time to do our news from the weekend, and there was news other than weather over the weekend. There was news from the horse world, and we're going to get to that. There were some weather-related stories, though, and one of them was, remember, what was it, just a month ago or less, that one of our listeners called in and had bought one of the horses at the Chincoteague, one of the ponies at the Chincoteague Pony Sale there at the Chincoteague Islands. Well, the Chincoteague ponies are safe after Hurricane Irene tore past their island. Chincoteague Volunteer Fire Company spokeswoman Dennis Bowden said Sunday that the herd of wild horses owned by the fire company since the 1920s made it through the storm without any nicks or scratches. Apparently, they put the ponies they left them loose from the area where they normally are. They got to higher ground. They gave them some extra food and hay. And after the storm was over, they went out to check on them, and they said the ponies looked fantastic, as docile and complacent as usual, as if nothing had happened. So the Chincoteague ponies are safe.
Oh, that's good. That's great. Hey, I'm moving into this new place. We've bought a new farm. It's a mile and a half from where I am, so the commute will not be any longer for Chad. But I'm reconsidering the offer on that place because one of the properties that we have discussed on the show just got marked down. And you know me, I love a bargain. And so Jenny Craig, she has cut her estate price. Her giant ranch in Rancho Santa Fe, California. It's 229 acres and includes a 3/4 mile racetrack, 2 guest houses, olive orchard, barns, vet suite. It's also for sale as an additional $9 million is a 3.4 acre gated estate in Rancho Santa Fe on a bluff overlooking the equestrian estate, and that has 4 bedrooms, gardens, private car museum. I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Well, the bargain price of $25 million, it can be yours. So she has dropped the price $5 million. I might be in the running for a loan. What do you think?
There you go. So it's only $25 million. Should be good to go.
It has a racetrack. I know. We can make money. I could have racehorses. Because everybody knows you make a lot of money with racehorses.
Aren't you the one that told me you don't like olives?
I hate olives. I bulldoze that. put orange.
It has
in.
An olive orchard. We could make it. Maybe we could do like lemons or something. You know, something different.
Yeah.
Other than olives.
It doesn't matter. I'll sell all
grapes.
Those and make
money.
Make
it into a winery.
Yeah,
make it into a winery.
Yes.
We'll have grapes. That's even better.
What is this wheat? I hear you have a mouse in your pocket.
Well,
what is this wheat?
No. See, I just noticed that it had two guest houses. So I figured you were going to be inviting Jennifer and I to come and live in one of the guest houses because you love our music so much. By the way, Rick Conley chimes in, nobody on your side, and Rick chimes in and says, I love the song, Glenn. Way to go, Rick. Woo-hoo. Just saying.
Okay.
All right, next.
Hold up. Nope. Sorry, Glenn, not a fan of the song. Aubrey Miller. She said that she was sorry she was scrubbing fungus legs when I tried to take her off hold. She says the horse is not hers. Aubrey, I was trying to talk to you because I wanted your opinion of the song. And, yes, she did not like the song, and her favorite is Clayton's song, The Will to Win. You've got the will to win.
Okay,
yeah,
so we're one for one right now. We're one for one. Rick and Aubrey, we're tied. We'll see what what tiebreaker comes in the next couple of minutes. But, you know, a place where they serve a lot of wine and a lot of adult beverages is the Hampton Classic Horse Show. And that was scheduled to start in the Hamptons up there in Long Island. And, you know, the Hampton Classic Horse Show is kind of a tradition that all the rich people look forward to up there on the island. They have very, very expensive fundraisers and things that happen there for the – I think that one is done for the children's – one of the hospitals up there maybe? I'm trying to remember what fundraiser that one's done for. But that was postponed because Irene, they had set up all the tents. Everything was ready to go, and they put up a town of tents there. And they had to take them all down and start over. So they're going to reconstruct them all today and tomorrow. The horses arrive, and the Hampton Classic will go on, although it will be on an abbreviated schedule, apparently. They won't be doing as many classes as they had originally planned on.
Yeah. Have you been to the Hampton Classic? I don't know why you would have been, but have you been?
No.
Have you been to the Hamptons?
No, we've never been to the Hamptons either. Actually, we've never been out to Long Island.
Okay, I went to the Hampton Classic one time. I was working for that horse trainer Ramon Becerra, and he was putting on the shows out there. And this is in my younger days, and we were traveling around the country and putting on equestrian events. And the Hampton Classic is. I stayed in a bed and breakfast in the Hamptons, okay? Ridiculous. That whole place is ridiculous. I mean, every single part of the Hamptons is just, they bleed money. Everybody bleeds money over there. It's great. There's celebrities everywhere. There's all sorts of people for the Hunter Jumper show. So it is definitely a great people watching place to go. And I mean, the Hamptons are just gorgeous. You feel like you're in another country when you're in the Hamptons. It's just woods and the beach and ocean and ridiculous houses, and it's just an amazing place. But I have nothing to comment about the horse show being postponed, just, you know, whatever, but it's a good place to go.
Hey, I have something to add here too. I just remembered that our listener, Rick Conley, who was on my side, so I have to support him here, is a draft horse guy. And he's a photographer, and he goes around taking pictures of draft horse shows. Well, there was a little video that was put up the other day, and I have to share over here. And it was a draft horse show in Estes Park, Colorado. You're out your way. And one of the interesting things is towards the end of this video, it shows you little clips of all the draft horse things they did at this show. And one of them was bareback barrel racing on draft horses. Something you have to see once to appreciate. Yeah, so I put the link up on Facebook there for the bareback draft horse barrel racing. Now, let's...
There's a video of this?
Yes, I just posted it, and it's at the end of this video about all the other draft horse stuff that happened. It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny.
Oh
hey, you know,
God,
there's a sheriff's posse. If you need something to do in South Bend, Indiana, and you have a horse and you want to do something good for the community, well, they have a sheriff's posse, actually, a volunteer sheriff's posse that helps out the sheriff's department at times of festivals and riots. And apparently when feuding gangs disrupted the Summer in the City Festival in South Bend in 2004, the St. Joseph's County Sheriff's Posse rode in on horseback, broke up the fights, and cleared Howard Park in a matter of minutes. But the problem they had, yeah, no, isn't that fun? I love that they call them a posse. So they're lacking members, though. They're down to 12 members, and they're supposed to have 25, so they're looking for volunteers of those that want to be a part of the Sheriff's Posse. And it says they put in 150 to 160 hours a year of committed time in the saddle of being posse members, and they'll give you training and everything, and they gave us an email address to write to. So if you're actually interested in that, just drop me a note at glenn@horseradionetwork.com, and I'll send you the information to become a Sheriff's Posse member. They're in South Bend, Indiana.
They have a Sheriff's Posse here in Arizona as well. And, you know, we have the infamous sheriff here in Phoenix called Sheriff Joe, Sheriff Joe Arpaio. And he's the one that, you know, if you go to jail here or you get a DUI or you get in trouble, you go to Tent City. It's not a regular jail. Have you heard of Tent City, Glenn?
Yeah, Sheriff Joe is very famous across the country. And some people love Sheriff Joe. Some people hate Sheriff Joe.
That is true. He is very polarizing for most Phoenix residents as well. And if you get a DUI or you go to jail, you go to Tent City. And what Tent City is, you know, it's the desert here. It's really, really hot. And he sends you to live in a tent in the desert. You must wear, and this includes guys, pink underwear and pink socks. And you wear literally one of those 1920s jail outfits with the big black and white stripes. And it's like a chain gang material. And it is awesome. When I went to adopt my horse that I got from Sheriff Joe's Animal Rescue, Jet, my thoroughbred, came from there. You go there, and I'm the only place that they had to work the horses or turn them out was in a round pen. And the round pen was painted pink. The stalls are pink. The roof is a tent, and just even the little shed where they keep their hay is pink. Everything is pink. For a jail, it is way bizarre to go and see everything being in pink. The pictures I have of Jet when I rescued him, when I went and adopted him, he's standing in front of a pink wall. So
what
do they do with
the female prisoners? Do they paint it, like, orange, or what do they do with the female side?
I have no
paint
idea because the horse area, they only let the male inmates work, and they call them the trustees, and those are the guys that get to handle the horses. So I don't know exactly what they do with the women because I did not, thank God, is it the women's prison? So,
hey, did you talk to the lady on Friday from that auction over there at the other prison up in the arena, wherever that was, and Nevada?
We did, Glenn. And,
how much did your horse
sell
for?
Well, here's what you can do, Glenn. You can listen to that show and any other show on horsesinthemorning.com. You go ahead and click on it, download it, and check out Friday's episode. You don't have to miss an episode.
In Saudi Arabia, they have been excavating a new archaeological site that shows horses were domesticated over 9,000 years ago, which is much earlier than they originally had thought. They had often thought that it was 5,500 years ago in Central Asia. But it looks like in Saudi Arabia, they discovered statues of horses that were over 9,000 years old. And they also found statues of animals such as goats, dogs, hawks, and a meter-tall bust of a horse. And that's what they were going on. So they're continuing to dig at that excavation site over there in Saudi Arabia. They were hoping to make Saudi Arabia by digging up some of these excavation sites and trying to find things like the pyramids in Saudi Arabia. They're hoping to increase tourism. But considering what's going on in the Middle East right now, I don't think too many people are wanting to travel there at all. So they're kind of digging deep here to find reasons for people to come to Saudi Arabia.
Hold up. Yeah, that is not on my bucket list of places to vacation. Boy,
no.
I just can't wait to go visit Saudi Arabia. That sounds so much fun. Wow. Gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. Not on my list either.
Hey, actually, kind of some crazy news. Just when you think things are nice and quiet, you know, when you go to get your Coggins test for your horse, you're required to have one every year so the horses can travel every 6 months, depending on where you live. so the horses can travel to horse shows or across state lines. The state of Arkansas has had multiple positives now for equine infectious anemia, EIA, which is why you get your Coggins test. And it was all in one herd. So the good news is that the horses with EIA have not been shown to any other horses. It's just there's one adjacent herd, and they're in the process of being tested. So there is a reason why you get your Coggins test. It is very important to make sure that these outbreaks don't happen. And fortunately, this looks like it was kept to one herd. Unfortunately, is, you know, it's a pretty fatal disease. So definitely everybody get your Coggins test. And if you live in the area of Clarksville, Arkansas, or Johnson County, don't take your horses anywhere right now. Just batten down the hatches. Stay close to home.
And the same thing in Wisconsin. I saw there were a bunch of horses that they had to put down for EEE. So you know, get your vaccines.
Talked to Christy from. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let me finish up with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I talked to Christy from thehorse.com, and we're going to do a segment on Wednesday. It might not be this Wednesday, but just about vaccinations and how important they are, because there's been a lot of outbreaks of Eastern and Western encephalitis, and you know those are primarily fatal as well, and very expensive to try to treat. So do definitely please get your horses vaccinated. And there is nothing more important than the West Nile vaccine this time of year. So please make appointments with your vets. My horses get West Nile twice a year just because the mosquitoes, it just scares me to death. So everybody, please check with your vet, get your vaccinations done, put it all into your Pocket Stable app, you know, keep it all together. Go ahead. I'm done.
The Germans reigned supreme at the European Eventing Championships. The Germans basically took everything. They took all the medals. And I'll let you see that story in the middle there, Ganey? You love these stories because they have such great names for you to read. So I thought I'd let you take a shot at the names there.
Oh, these are easy. Easy. Germany may not be European dressage champions anymore, but at the HSBC FEI European Eventing Championships in Lemulen, they stole the equivalent crown in eventing in spectacular fashion. In a clean sweep, they won every medal available. Team gold for the first time since Kiev in 1973 with Michael Young.
Yes.
And La Biostatic Sam, that's way wrong, adding to the individual title the world crown. Silver went to the team debutante Sandra Aufharten Opan Luvo, and bronze to German individual Frank Ostholt on Little Pink. Yet another German, Dick Schrade, finished fourth.
Pretty good.
I cannot pronounce Michael Young's horse, La Bio. Like, it looks like Biostik Sam, but I'm pretty sure it's not that easy. And Lemulen,
yeah,
we only learned because of our friend at Horse and Country.tv. So, yes,
well,
good
you know
job,
how-
Germany.
You know how this has nothing to do with horses, but it has everything to do with somebody that was up a tree. We used to live near Gloucester, Massachusetts, and apparently this lady in Gloucester, Massachusetts was upset about the coal mining in West Virginia. So she went down there, and she climbed a tree and made herself a little tree stand, and she wouldn't come down. The authorities tried to get her down. She spent 30 days in the tree. But we're happy to report now, thanks to Hurricane Irene, she's now back in Massachusetts and out of the tree. Just took her right home. Right out of
Glenn, I would like for you to go to our Horses in the Morning Facebook page and hit refresh.
Okay, I'll do that right now.
And read what was written for you.
Oh, but who cares what Nancy says?
She wrote, "That song sucked."
Nancy. I'll tell you what. All right, I said whoever posted the next one. It looks like we don't ever play that song again. I'll send you a copy by email so you can play it whenever.
Yay!
You want
to. Oh, that's awful sweet of you. Yeah, if you could just pop that over on an MP3, that'd be great.
It must be a guy song. I'm sure your husband loved it. He just didn't want to say because he has to live with you.
Oh, yeah. As he's walking by going, "What is that god-awful music that is playing? Are you seriously playing La Bamba on your Horses in the Morning show?" Oh, God.
You watch. Next concert you go to, they're going to have found it, and they're going to go, "This was the greatest song ever. We're going to play it for you." And you're going to hear Sugarland playing Battle of New Orleans.
Yeah. Okay. If Sugarland plays Battle of New Orleans, I will give you $100. I'll give you $100. I'll give you $1,000, almost $1,000,000. Forget it. That's never going to happen. So, yay, I win the bet. We never play that song again. Jennifer did let me know that it is available on Amazon for 99 cents. That would be the biggest waste of 99 cents ever.
All right, let's get out of here. You have to go move. You have the house to get into. So
yes.
Let's just say goodbye today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. I have some new guests for you this week. Jennifer has some fun stuff planned. So tune in again tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern. We're glad you joined us. Don't forget you can listen on iTunes. Just search on iTunes for Horses in the Morning. We'll pop up, hit subscribe, and we'll automatically be downloaded to your MP3 player or your iPhone or any other listening device that you choose to listen on.
Yes, and Glenn, if you do want to know how much Chubbs the Mustang went for, you can go listen to Friday's show at horsesinthemorning.com. You can check our website, affiliate websites, or iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. And everybody, please remember two more chapters of Black Beauty left. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to find another book. I'm very upset. Please, everybody, remember to spay, neuter, and geld.
I have a few books I could recommend that are as good as the song I played today.
Not going to happen.
See you at Taylor's, Jamie. Bring your $500.
Hold up. You forgot this.
Let's face it. You got to be a man to wear tights.
I did.
We're men.
Men.
We're men in tights.
Man, we're men.
We roam around the forest looking for fights.
We're men
in tights. We run from the rich and give to the poor, that's right. We may look like sissies, but why would you say, or else we'll put out your lights. We're men in tights. Always on guard, defending the people's rights.
La 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 la.
Face it, you gotta be a man to wear tights.